This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I think Jet's mindset was that he was still going to be able to come up. Therefore, I'm just going to ride in the beginning part of the race. Just be calm and then I'll kick it into gear. Well, everybody else was kicking into gear. In Boston, Massachusetts. Is it in Boston? Because I don't know enough about him, know enough about him. But I know one thing. He thinks that I'm not fast enough. So that's what I'm going to show up this weekend. So my whole point to all this is that now you're starting to see him play those games.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh, my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
Second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is. Your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 13 up in Boston, Massachusetts. Gillette Stadium, home of Tom Brady, the New England Patriots. Well, home of Cooper Webb this weekend. But after last weekend, we had the Triple Crown, and we saw Beast Mode back. And also, we have Danger Boy back. The East Coast is finally getting back here. With Jet Lawrence bounce back after a couple weekends off, would Beast Mode continue to roll? Or would Cooper Webb come back and like he has been? Or would it be Chase Sexton, Ken Roczen, and everybody else? But you know what we got to do? We got to find out. There was no rain this weekend. There was rain on Friday. But there wasn't no rain on Saturday. So what that meant the dry track. And it was all up to these guys to show up and show out. And therefore, they did for us. So let's do it, people. You know what we got to do. Let's get into it. What's up, guys? It's your boy, JS. Have you ever got those spam emails from going on those sites that maybe you shouldn't get? Have you ever had those critical virus alerts? Well, I have. And I'm sure you probably have, too. So here's what we've been doing to combat this. We use Aura. Sponsor of today's show. Aura protects all our information. They look all over the internet and scour for some of those things that maybe you shouldn't click on. Aura submits opt-out requests to data brokers who buy and sell your data online. These brokerages are legally required to remove your info if you request. However, it's hard enough for the everyday person to find out where their info is being sold, let alone make a removal request. The best thing that can happen to you is you just get a bunch of spam emails. But the worst thing is that you come home and then next thing you know is like, that significant other, that person is up there saying why you did this and you don't have an identity. You keep calling people other names or you become John Smith. They'll get your identity, so protect yourself. Aura does so much to protect us online. So we value our privacy, we value yours. So go to aura.com/Bubba's World to start your 2-week free trial. So the track this weekend, we were at a football stadium. The layout was pretty tight, like it was a little bit more tighter than I was expecting. I knew they had some switchbacks. The dirt looked really slippery. I mean, that was kind of obvious how shiny those things out. Those guys were spinning out. But a couple years ago, I saw that track. It was kind of dry and kind of dusty since it was in the daytime. And I actually said I would like it. Well, this was like the opposite. It was just wet, like super slippery. And those guys were struggling with traction. So the guys that can be on the throttle, like the best, AKA Justin Barcia, probably wouldn't fare that well here. But guys like Ken Roczen, Chase Sexton, and, you know, nonetheless, Cooper Webb, those guys would do well. But the track was super tight, which you know how Cooper Webb rides, probably would favor him a little bit. But yeah, I think the whoop section was a key. They had some jumps. They went round and round. They had all this stuff. But overall, it was a dry race. So track was the track. We saw a lot of things turn after that Triple Crown. You know, when you had a race of Eli Tomac winning, being back to form, you can feel it. Like you saw the way he showed up in practice. Like we knew he was going to show up. Whether he won or not, he was going to be there. And after how this year has been for Eli, he's been up and down. Going into this weekend, you know he was going to be back. And then obviously with Cooper Webb kind of being off, maybe, you know, having the morning wood. And then last weekend, he wasn't, you know, he ended up second, but Jet Lawrence had an incident with Bam Bam. So you knew Cooper Webb got a piece of that steak. So you know he was hungry, so he would be there. But Jet Lawrence was the one guy that you could say that, all right, I'm going to stop playing. Just like he went into Daytona, he was going to show up and let these guys know that I'm back. So he showed up this weekend. And I don't think he expected what he expected. What he saw was, what happened?
What happened?
Like, okay, we knew Eli Tomac was going to be Eli Tomac. We knew he's emotional, right? He goes up and down, up and down. Beast mode, he's back or not. Cooper Webb? I don't think Jet Lawrence expected that. I mean, I sure didn't. Cooper Webb has some speed. So this weekend, as Jet Lawrence was racing, I think he saw the difference of, and probably the first time in his career, of these guys, racing guys that actually, when the moment's right, just like that Cialis, the moment's right, they get it done. And that was Cooper Webb. So I think Jet, he was probably taken back a little bit. And by his podium interview, it was the first time that I've seen him kind of like mad, like upset.
Shame you're trying to battle for fifth and sixth and that stuff. So we're going to go on the next rounds, come back, work on starts, obviously, and actually show how meant to be up there. So, yeah.
The Barca incident. Okay, things happen. The Jason Anderson, you know, flicking off, I'll pay him out of Hunter's money. But his interview on the podium was different. Like, it was different. Like, he saw, uh-oh, like, these guys are here, and particularly, like, Cooper Webb. Cooper Webb showed up, and he was different than he was in the past. And I'm not going to talk about him in a second, but I got to talk about him while I'm talking about somebody else. And for Jet, the last few races, like, he's been the fastest. Even with Beast Mode being Beast Mode, like, Jet was still able to beat him in that second round, on the second motor in the Triple Crown, and then he was able to catch him in that first one. So if I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm still thinking, all right, I'm still fast. And before that, I was just stalling the motorcycle, falling over. Like, I could come back from 10 seconds and run these guys down. So Jet was the fastest in the first practice. So, okay, all right, you know, nothing's going to change. But Cooper still looked different. Cooper looked different. And with the track being tight, it's kind of like one of those tracks that, as a racer, you know, it don't really matter how fast you go in practice. I could be 10 seconds faster than everybody. If I don't get a start, I'm going to lose. So maybe Jet Lawrence was like, okay, I know that, right? So Cooper Webb being great, or I don't necessarily have to be the fastest, which I'm just going to be the fastest anyway. So that first practice came around, Jet was the fastest. Then that second one came around and he was trying to go fast, but Cooper was just faster, right? So the race happened at nighttime where they paid the points. The heat race goes through. Cooper, okay, he was fast in practice. I passed him. I beat him. Nothing's going to change. Whatever. But Cooper looked different. Jet knows that. He looked different. So the main event comes. I don't get the greatest start. And I think Jet's mindset, the way the last few races, the way all year, he's able to come up through the pack. And strictly after those three race wins, I think he believes that he can achieve, and everybody else knows he can achieve as well. So I think he has a confidence that no matter where he starts at, as long as he stays up, he's going to run those guys down. You know, maybe he won't be able to come up and win, but he'll be in the fight. So it looked like Jet, beginning part of the race, I don't know if he fell because it seemed like he was a little bit farther up than when they showed him. But nonetheless, he was farther back than I realized he was. But it looked like he was really calm, like, all right, actually to the point where I thought he was hurt or something was wrong, just kind of chilling. And I think he was thinking that he was going to kick in the gear and just mosey his way up, where he realized Tomac was toe smacking people. And then Eli got to a point where he realized he wasn't going to win and he wasn't even going to beat Cooper Webb, and he needed to beat Cooper Webb and Chase Sexton. So he's like, whatever, I'm chilling, but I'm here. So I think Jet thought he was going to run up, and he realized on that track, it was going to be a lot difficult. Jason Anderson, like, he was back fully loaded with some bullets, maybe not fully loaded, halfway. He shoots somebody, so you can't really mess with him. But I think Jet's mindset was that he was still going to be able to come up. Therefore, I'm just going to ride in the beginning part of the race, just be calm, and then I'll kick it into gear. Well, everybody else was kicking into gear. You had Chase Sexton and Ken Roczen, and they fighting each other. They like practicing during the week. So they're firing. Eli's still like that, beast mode. And then Jason, you know, hey, Cynthia, I'm buying diapers. So Jet couldn't come up to the pack. And I believe that's where that frustration was. And when you heard him on the podium, that's where it was coming from, because I think Jet's, he's really smart. I mean, all these guys are, but I think Jet's aware of the situation. And I would say with this one, even though he's a rookie and he's learning every weekend, I think this was almost a miscalculation, if you want to say, by Jet. I don't think he's ever been in a spot where he's raced against guys, particularly in Cooper Webb, that can sense the situation. And what I meant last weekend when I was saying, you gave him the bone, like he bit the steak. You still got it, but he bit it. And now that he bit it, you're going to have a problem, because now he's slobbing and all that. I don't think Jet ever raced someone that has that mindset in the, even in the 250 class or even in 450 class, that he did with Cooper Webb, because I just don't expect Jet. I just don't think Jet was really thinking that it was going to come down like this, that Cooper Webb was probably going to do something that he hasn't really done his whole career, which be the fastest in practice, fastest lap time in the main event, whole shot, and then lead every lap. And yeah, Chase Sexton was coming, but yeah, I just pick up the pace where Cooper Webb was managing the race. But particularly past that, all the people at home, when have you seen Cooper Webb like scrubbing? Like Cooper Webb looked like a different type of guy. And I don't think Jet realized that what makes Cooper Webb, Cooper Webb, like it came this weekend. Like, where did this guy come from? And so from just not racing him and just probably not having to deal with that your whole career, it was like he was real lackadaisy in a sense of, no, when I mean that guy is going to, like, the mindset, he's going to change his mindset. When Jay say he's going to change his mindset, that's what he means. Like, I don't know where it came from. It just came from. And there was nothing this year, even the races that Cooper has won, there was nothing this year to say he should ride like he did this weekend, that he should just feel like, you know what, I'm faster, I'm just going to be faster than everybody else, that I'm just going to outrun these guys. There's nothing he should say that. And Jet experienced that. So my point is, I think that's what you saw on the podium. Like, I think Jet was, as he was getting that fifth place, because he had races that he won and he threw away. He had races dude ran into him and he was hurt. He didn't act like that. And it was the realization of, damn, so this is what that means? That's that guy? And that guy's here. And so this next four races, Jet's going to have to show up like he showed up in Daytona. Business-like. And for us, we're going to Nashville. I think it's going to be on. I don't know how the weather is, but it don't matter. Jet's going to have to show up and solidify next weekend. This weekend coming up, he's going to have to solidify. I said he was going to solidify last weekend in Tom Brady's house. Well, he's got to solidify this weekend. And I think Cooper Webb is going to try to solidify, because he also knows as well, if he can beat Jet Lawrence this race, it's on. And I think this weekend going between Eli, Jet Lawrence, and Cooper Webb, and I'm throwing Eli in there as well, because I think if Eli wins this weekend, it still favors Cooper, even if Jet beats Cooper. I think those three riders, and especially Jet Lawrence and Cooper Webb, it's going to go a big way of whoever wins or whoever beats each other and how they race this weekend moving forward. And I know that seems like, yeah, duh, but just the mindset of what's going on, don't get it twisted, people. This is mindset. Like, the Yamaha ain't different. Like, yeah, it looked good, but yeah, it didn't look any different than it has in the previous weekend. Jet's bike looked like Jet. Jet looked like Jet. Cooper didn't look like Cooper, but Cooper didn't look like Cooper because what he did. So this is a mindset. So I could sit here and say, oh yeah, well, the Yamaha turns well, which it does. And Cooper's, his riding style sets up well for this track. Tight turns. All right. Well, it does. Jet Lawrence putting the track together, making roll speed. This track probably doesn't set up well. Well, it didn't, but it didn't matter because he had to go up there and show. And I think at the end of the day, you saw a mindset between those guys, and the mindset, I think Jet Lawrence realized that it's the Cialis commercial. The moment's right. Cooper Webb had the morning wood, nighttime wood, and he showed up, and I'm going to have to show up. So that's what you saw. And then you saw Cooper Webb. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about him. Cooper Webb. Damn. I know, like, we expect and we always talk about what makes Cooper Cooper. We don't know. I don't know. Cooper doesn't know. Nobody knows. But probably Cooper knows that he's just going to be who he is, and everybody else knows he's going to be who he is. But this weekend was just different. It's different. And I said a couple weekends ago, this year has been different for Cooper. Like, even the championships he won, like, at some point, the guy made things happen. Like, I mean, he made things happen. His presence makes things happen. He fall over, people fall over. They think about him. They don't think about him. Things happen. But just like Tampa last year, his presence, you know, Chase knew at the end of the race, I don't want to be next to him. I don't want to be around him. And he can wear guys down. Same thing with Ken Roczen. But this year, it's like, okay, he's there. And okay, the guy fell. But, you know, I was close, but I wasn't close enough that to put a pressure to make Jock jump off the racetrack. And when I won in Seattle, man, I had morning wood, man. I was hard, man. I was blown up. My thing was big. No, look, things are tight.
No, God, please, no, no.
You know what I mean? Like, he was kind of tight. Things about this float. He wasn't riding up to his performance, but he was able to stay hard enough. I mean, he was able to stay strong enough to get the job done. And Chase wasn't able to catch him. But he kind of realized that Chase was probably the faster guy. Jet Lawrence was, you know, stalling the motorcycle. I wasn't the best guy. But my point is that Cooper's been racing. And I said, I don't know how his mindset is going into the off weekend or whatever. Like, would he, you know, would he believe that, like, I could just show up and race like I did this weekend? You know, when the chips are up, I'm going to just all of a sudden go fast. Because this year has been about maybe other guys making mistakes. And yeah, I'm there to capitalize. And because I am Cooper Webb, I'm always going to be there. But yeah, I haven't really just beat this guy straight up or just won this without something else happening. So going into a race, would he be able to do that? And the reason I was saying that is because I'm like, you haven't seen Cooper say anything about Jet, how he would line up next to Eli in the gate. And even though that was a mistake at that one, but he did it. Or he would say something, or he would say something to a guy about practice. You haven't heard that until this weekend. And it was sly. It was quick. It was like you heard Cooper after practice. He was like, you know, we worked on speed, whatever. It's good to be faster than Jet.
Like I said, anytime you can be faster than Jet's always a positive. So we'll carry that into the main. And
that was the first thing. Like, all right, that's the first time he shout out his name. Like, they know, like, now Cooper is starting to say, okay, I'm here. I did that stake. All right, let me see. Now he's going to try to be faster than Jet because he feels like one thing Jet has on him is speed. So I'm trying to close that thing. I'm going to try to close it off. I'm going to try to shut that down. And when Cooper showed up this weekend, you understood what he was going after. He was trying to go after speed. Speed. Because we know, all right, look, end of the race, I'm going to be there. All right, track's going to be slippery, easy to make mistakes. Get a start. This race is going to be one off a start. But Cooper was there for a purpose. And his purpose was speed. Speed. He says they ain't changed the motorcycle all year. That's what I was saying. Like, it didn't look any different. You know, usually when guys change motorcycles or change something on a bike, they'd be like, oh, we're trying something different. Made a big change on the motorcycle. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. We just worked on speed because he knows the guy that he's trying to beat has speed. So he knows that the guy he's trying to beat, the only way to get him is to get him with speed. Like, I'm just going to beat him down that way because I don't know enough about him, know enough about him. But I know one thing. He thinks that I'm not fast enough. So that's what I'm going to show up this weekend. So my whole point to all this is that now you're starting to see him play those games, or not even playing those games, but be more like, okay, now I think I found a weakness or found something that I can see if I can knock him out and I can be fast, it's going to make him wake up. It's going to make people look at me differently. It's going to make Jay like, damn, who is that? Like, who is that? That's how it was. And for y'all at home, don't lie. When Cooper Webb's in practice and he was hitting those lines and he was like out of control and he was scrubbing, you were like, whoa, what is that? That's the part where it said when people realize, and especially that dude, I don't know where it comes from and I don't know why it comes. There ain't nothing this year that says it should come, but it comes at the right time. When I was going back to saying Jet hasn't really raced anybody like that, the whole mental mindset of what makes him him is that. I don't know anyone else that does that, right? That. What is that? I don't know. It's Cooper Webb. And he showed up this weekend with a purpose, and he served notice in that practice. He don't care about practice, people. He ain't even care. He won 2 championships, won 24 races. This was the 25th. He don't care. He don't care enough to be like, that's his purpose. Well, his purpose, I best to believe it was to get at Jet Lawrence, because he knows it is that time. It's that time of the year. Taste that steak, and I'm hungry, and we're here, and we're watching what happened, and they're even. They're even. They're even. And I would say, it's on, people. Cooper had, when I talked about Jet and where Jet was making time up in St. Louis, you know, going across the start straight, mechanics here, how he was standing up and, you know, settling and kind of sitting in the jumps and doing that stuff. Like, that's where Jet was making his time up. Well, this weekend, when you talk about what makes Cooper Cooper and how he's really good at turning down, this weekend in practice, what he made of his time was what makes him, when that track gets broken down and he starts shortening the racetrack. What Cooper does well is, like, instead of just trying to go faster around the whole racetrack, he figures out a way to just shorten it, right? So maybe that's the special part. I can't go faster, but if I shorten it, that which is going to make me go faster in theory, because I'm actually going shorter around the racetrack, I'm just going to do that. Well, in practice this weekend, there's a part where they go on and off and they come across the start straight. They go back across the start straight into that wall jump. What you're going to see is Cooper goes over the tabletop and he hits the single. And when he lands off that single, he instantly turns. He turns. And what he's trying to do is he catches like a little rut there, but it obviously wasn't that hard. It was hard for everybody to catch it because nobody really went there besides Cooper. But what he was doing is he landed, pivoted, and basically turned and straight put that motorcycle straight up and down so he can get on the gas. And he was shorting the racetrack. Well, when you watch other guys do it, they were going on off or on off single or over the tabletop single, and they were going outside like they were hitting that berm, and then they couldn't get on the gas. Like, they would hit the berm, and you would initially think if you go outside, you can hit like that berm and then get on the gas, but they could never really get the bike straight up and down, which was making them push them off into the tough blocks or basically getting on the gas like that. Yeah. Kind of like that situation where Cody Shock and Hayden Deegan, when Hayden Deegan jumped on this tabletop, turned pivot and was on the gas while Cody was trying to get on the gas, but he was turning the whole time. Well, Cooper was doing that, and particularly that part of the racetrack, you can see how much more aggressive he's on the throttle, shooting on the gas, because when those guys are like finicking, like hitting it, pulling the clutch, going, he's pivoted, turned on the gas and charging into that wall jump, which actually was a better angle being on the farther inside, because now once you went over that tabletop, instead of being on the outside hitting that single and then falling into that corner, he was hitting that straight up and down and basically going into that rut. And by his angle going into that rut, it was allowing the suspension to actually bottom out and compress. And then so he was doing like one corner and he would be able to get out and go across that start straight again, compared to if you're on a different part of the angle where some of those guys were on the farther outside. It was like they would get into it and their bike wouldn't compress. And then therefore it's kind of sitting up. And when it's super slippery, you want that thing to be low. Wanted to have traction, and like guys like Chase Sexton and other guys, you can see them like really struggling. One, that section I was just talking about with Cooper, but because that angle, they were going into that next corner after that wall, they were struggling going there as well. So they were losing time before the wall jump and after the wall jump, strictly because of how they went on that on off. And that's what Cooper, it was like the time that he was able to gain there. And because he was able to turn at that point, he gained to that wall, after that wall, and actually through the sand section, all because of the line choice that he made 3 corners earlier. And that's what I mean by kind of shortening the racetrack and kind of putting these lines together. And when tracks break down and as it gets rutted, that's why Cooper Webb gets really good at rutted types of tracks. He shortens the racetrack, but then he also, by shortening it, he sets himself up and puts himself in different spots. And you wouldn't even notice it, but just pay attention in practice and pay attention to the way guys that hit that wall from the inside compared to the guys that hit that wall on the outside, how their bike reacted in that next corner. Once you run inside, you can get that bike to load up. It's low. And then what they were doing, they were staying low. And as the bike was spinning, it was still the way their corner was. It was still allowing them to get traction compared to if you hit it on a different angle, you never got that thing sucked down. Therefore, you were never able to get on the gas because it was never squatted and you were almost finicking the whole time, you know, fettling the clutch. So I think with those guys, it was more they're racing a track to where like they're trying to attack the thing where Cooper's actually just doing the obvious. If you don't have traction and tires are meant to be straight up and down, put the most rubber on the ground. So when he's doing that, although he's shortening the racetrack, he's actually going faster as well. And I just think with Cooper and his whole mindset, the way he was feeling, the tackness and being, it's like his riding style, the way he rides the racetrack, he was doing that in a sense of like almost like a beast mode. Like he was attacking while shortening the racetrack, and that's dangerous. And that made him fast this weekend. So when you start looking at Cooper and how he was feeling, yeah, the track set up well for him. Yeah, he was happy. He was feeling good. I think he was coming there with a purpose, and his purpose was achieved by that second practice when he was able to be faster. And therefore, like you knew going into the main event that he knew he was going to be strong. He just felt funky. He felt fresh. He felt like he was ready to stick somebody in the web, and he sure did this weekend.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
And speaking of Chase Sexton, Chase Sexton rode good this weekend. Chase Sexton has been riding, I think this was probably the closest he was to Seattle, to where when you looked at him, you know, he had some pace. And I think for Chase, I think he probably was a little frustrated because I would believe like when he was on Honda or I wouldn't even say Honda. I just believe in the past he was faster than Kenny. And because they homeboys, they play Xbox together, whatever, they friends, they ride during the week. He probably didn't want to bump Kenny, but he probably needed to bump Kenny because I think he needed more time to possibly get to Cooper, which I don't even know, because I think Cooper was kind of managing the race. But nonetheless, Chase had some speed. You could tell he was feeling good. But once he got into second, because Kenny was holding him up, once he got into second, Cooper picked up the pace, at least enough to where it made Chase pick up the pace. And then Chase ran in the same situation that he's been running in all year. There's a limit to it, because you would think that once Chase got into second, he was going to catch Cooper. I didn't think that. Like, I saw the way Cooper was riding, and I could tell Cooper was riding because his circumstances behind him. He knew Kenny was like, all right, Kenny probably gonna catch me at the end of this race. Like, I feel pretty good. I can go faster. Like, because Cooper really wasn't doing anything that was out of control. Like, he didn't look like he was pushing too hard. He knew Jet Lawrence wasn't coming up. He knew Beast Mode was still back there, and he saw where Chase was. So whenever Chase was going to make, Chase was going to dictate if he went fast or not. And that's what ended up happening, because Cooper was just riding and Kenny was holding up Chase. Well, Chase got around Kenny, and then Cooper picked up the pace, and then Chase started picking up the pace, and then Chase started making mistakes. And that's the part I think was frustrating for Chase, is that I think in years past that he would be able to somehow manifest and run a pace that would at least put Cooper in a spot to where he would have to make the decision on whether he was going to, all right, second place is going to be good enough because my pace is going to make him ride to the level where maybe he does get a little uncomfortable. I think everybody with Cooper and Chase realizes that like I'm there, but going to that next 1% or that next 2-3% that's going to put me back to where I'm like right here and I'm fast and I'm faster than the guy in front of him, but I'm not fast enough than the guy in front of him to be able to like pass him and just pull away. It's almost like I'm faster than him, but he's got to make a mistake to go slower and then I'll get in front of him because I can't just go from 55s to like a 53 to just blitz past him. That's what happens with Chase. It seems like he's right there and then he's faster, but he's not fast enough to just pass him by going faster through the whoops. So it's a weird situation where you're like, dude, he's faster than him, but he ain't fast enough to pass him. Well, that's what Chase is. And when he tries to be fast enough to pass him, like, I'm just going to go faster through the whoops. I'm just going to go faster through a section. He ends up making a mistake and going slower. I think Chase is, when he's on, it's kind of like how he was in that heat race at Birmingham. It's like he starts putting that whole racetrack together and he's not going super fast here. He's just kind of going faster everywhere. He puts everything together. And for him, that's the way he has to ride the KTM. Where I think on the Honda is that he could actually just go faster down the straightaway. He could actually scrub his way past somebody. And that's the part that's lacking. And I'm sure it's a little bit frustrating for him because I'm sure he felt like he could probably get Cooper because Cooper wasn't pulling away. I'm sure he probably felt like he was obviously faster than Kenny because Kenny was kind of holding him up. But at the time he was being frustrated. And the way this year has been going, that's kind of how his season's been. No matter how fast Chase is, he has a hard time getting around guys because, yeah, you can be as fast as them or you can be a little bit faster. But to pass somebody, especially on a track like that, you got to be able to go faster through a section that actually says, nah, dude, he was letting it hang out. Like he just pinned it through the whoops or he just scrubbed his way through the rhythm section. And I think that burst of speed, that's the better term for it. That burst of speed is where Chase is lacking rather than he's lacking speed. And on the track like that and to pass the guys up front, he's got to be able to have that burst of speed. And he doesn't have that yet because when he tries to do that, you see him make mistakes and then he gets frustrated. And I believe that's what happened when he got in second. People was thinking that he was just going to run Cooper Webb down. But I knew to run Cooper Webb down, even though he's right there, he was going to have to do it over like 3 laps. Like he wasn't going to be able to catch him in 1 lap because that's not how his bike's set up. That's not how he's been going fast all year. He would be able to have to just run that pace and go to down to a 10th, 2/10 and get to Cooper and then race, not go from 2 seconds back to rat on him. That was the old burst of speed Chase that I think he's been still struggling with and searching for this year. But overall, Chase rode good. I think he's starting to get to the point where he wants more clearly. Because when you're up front and you're like, I'm faster and I can catch this guy in front of me, but I can't catch this guy in front of me, it's frustrating, especially for a guy that's always been able to catch whoever he wants, even in outdoors. He was faster than Jet a lot of the times. He was able to catch Jet. Yeah, I mean, you make a mistake, you might hit the ground, tuck the front end or not, but he was able to do it. I don't think this year he can do it, but it just takes too long for him to do it. And that's hard for him. And he's dealing with that. And, I think this weekend was an opportunity for him himself to feel like he can win. But nonetheless, Chase rode great. He's still there in the points. Something happens to those two, just like last year. He was in the same spot last year. Actually, I think he was in a better spot this year than he was last. And he ended up your defending champion because he was going the wrong way last year. At least this year, he's kind of like consistent and he's just kind of there. So Chase, keep your head up. You still fine. And then German Chocolate. It was nice to see Kenny back. Kenny was just there. He was doing his thing and he was able to get on the podium, which was great. But Kenny, just kind of like Chase, like he was like limits on that. But I think Kenny's doing great. I think all three of those guys, track set up well for him. Perfect situation. They realized start. The German Chocolate did his thing. He was like riding during the week, teammate. So nonetheless, Anderson, Jet Lawrence, Cooper Webb. No, I'd say Cooper Webb. Beast mode. He was back. And Eli. I still think Eli got a win in him. Eli was funky in that heat race. Eli was riding good. Eli rode good in practice. Eli's been, I would say, the way he rode all weekend, all race long, this is the best I've seen Eli ride all year. So even though he got a 5th or 6th place, I don't really think that's going to deter Beast Mode that much. I think he can come in this weekend and still win. I think what happened with Eli, once he realized that he got a bad start, and then he saw Chase Sexton up there, he saw Cooper Webb, and he realized he wasn't going to be able to catch those guys because even Jet wasn't going to catch them. You know, he was like, all right, I'm coming up. I'm scrubbing. I'm doing a turn down for what? Doing my stuff. I'm not going to be able to win. All right, whatever. I don't care. I don't really, fifth, sixth to me, whatever. Jet Lawrence gets past him. But just like that second race in St. Louis, Eli was able to kind of stay right there with Jet. So I think he gained confidence from a sixth place. And I think the way he ended up in that sixth place has nothing to do with how he ended up maybe sixth or seventh in previous races. Previous races, what we saw with Eli, he would go fast and then they would get to a point to where he was like, he knew he couldn't win. Then he would end up getting going from like sixth, seventh, eighth. You get passed by Justin Cooper, he would go backwards. Well, Eli didn't do that this weekend. Eli just got there. He got passed by one person and he was like, all right, whatever. But I'm still fast enough. I can keep this guy in front, which gives me confidence considering how everything is. I'm all about confidence. So don't be surprised. We go into Nashville and somebody get toe smacked. That's a possibility. Why I say that is because I'm going to bring up one point. Past experience. Particularly like Eli. When you have a, you know, a few weekends off, you know, I guess even this year hasn't been where he wanted to be at. And then you start kind of trending in the right way. You maybe get your heat race win and then, you know, you get to a circumstance and you be able to run with the guy that you feel like is the fastest guy, particularly the way I was in 2013. So all year I end up tearing my ACL at Anaheim. I'm done. So I was concentrated like, dude, I'm just trying to finish the race, just trying to finish the race. And then, yeah, I was fast in practice. But, you know, there's one thing being fast in practice and then knowing you're fast. Well, I was like fast in practice because I'm just talented. Sorry. And I think Eli's been fast because he's talented. Sorry. But I knew I really wasn't going to be able there in the race. Like, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it. I was going to be back in, like, battling with Benny Blass. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I was going to be at. That's where I was. No matter how fast I was in practice. Well, then I started, like, in the heat races. Like, I just started competing. And it was, like, easy. Like, easy. That knee started feeling better. So my whole point is with Eli, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing him, like, it's becoming more of he's finishing in the same spot. Like he got a sixth place. Yeah, he didn't finish that well this weekend, but the way he rides, and I guarantee his mindset, because he was able to stay with Jet Lawrence that second race, because he was able to stay with him. And the same thing this weekend, you're getting that confidence, just like I was in 2013 when I was able to beat Ryan Villopoto at Dallas in that heat race. And then my bike ended up breaking. I didn't even start the main event. But because I was able to like pass him a couple weekends before in San Diego, I think he ended up crashing to something that maybe I beat him in the main event. But I was able to stay with him, right? I was able to stay with him. And he ended up passing me. Then I think he crashed. Then I ended up beating him. But I was able to stay with him. And then I showed up the following weekend in Dallas and I beat him in the heat race. Then the next weekend, I ended up winning the main event and then he had to deal with me the rest of the year. And it was all because of like two laps in the main event, because all year up until that point, I was just hanging out. Like I was just trying to survive to make the main event and finish the race. And because I got the confidence to be able to stay with him for like literally like two laps, that showed me, I'm like, dude, I got speed. Yep. I was fast in practice. Yep. I think I won a heat race to that point, but it was racing Villopoto. And because he was the fastest person, because of those couple laps, I stayed with him, allowed me to beat him in the heat race. And once I beat him in the heat race, then I went to the next weekend and just beat him straight up. He started second. I was out front. And in my mind, he was not passing me all year long. Dude, I was in the back. I was like eighth place. But those two laps, one heat race, and then he had to deal with me and I was in the main event. Therefore, I'm Eli Tomac, fast forward 2024. Nothing all year that should say, man, okay, he had one race, right? He had the beast mode, one race, triple crown. Well, okay, whatever. That's like three heat races, whatever. But believe me when I say, when he got that confidence of being able to stay with Jet Lawrence, and when Jet Lawrence passed on this weekend, that's where all that's coming from, because he felt something that that he believes no matter where he finishes that he knows he can go fast and he has that speed. And that's why I say he ain't done. He ain't done. And he's going to show up this weekend, show up next weekend. He's going to get another one. And that's because of those couple laps. So beast mode, toe smacking, he'll be back. But all that being said, I just got to go back to the person that I was talking about second, because I didn't talk about him first because I wanted him to want to talk about him. Then I want to talk about everybody else, but I wanted to give something special. And that's Mr. Cooper Webb. Now I'm looking at the lap times right now. And I see that Cooper Webb, he finished first. Well, yeah, that's kind of Captain Obvious. And also, he finished first on the fastest lap time. Well, I did say he was pretty fast on there, and it was 53.03, whatever. You know, Cooper Whitley, he hole shot it. Yeah, they did say he did that too, right? I think he got a hole shot. And then Cooper Webb, he led all the laps. Well, I mean, he hole shot it, and then, you know, nobody passed him, and then he won. So that means he would lead all laps. It was 23 of them. Old Chex Sexton, ironically, 23, the old 23 was chasing him. But nonetheless, Cooper Webb did something that he hasn't done all year. I don't even know if Cooper Webb led 23 laps all year, but he led him this weekend. And the way he did it was special. And the way he did it, it just kind of came out of nowhere, but you saw it coming because he got that stake. And that was Jet Lowen's fault. That's your fault, man. Your fault. I told you. I tried to warn you. I tried to tell you. Even when Eli won, I was like, well, his homeboy, he hungry now. You let him have that steak, now he's slobbing. Now we tied. I don't know what's going to happen this weekend, but I know something's going to happen. And what's happening this weekend is, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
I would say that little delay was a delay, but it's just the suspect, the suspense of being Cooper Webb. Neck burn. He just got a neck burn. Cooper Webb, I don't even know. He's got the jack off, taking his jacket off. Those were his words, not mine.
Yeah, you just got to jack it off sometimes.
Talking about some people were riding on the race, and whether it was cold out there, and they were taking their jacket off, and he said, you got to jack it off, jacket on. Man, Cooper, man. Between the wood and the jack off, like, it's... That's it. Done with it. Jacket on. No, jacket on. Well, danger boy. Anyway, 250 class. Hey, Deegan, welcome. I said whatever when he even took his, I think he took his wrist brace off. That's what it was a few weekends ago because I said he looked different. Well, he was kind of looking a little suspect in practice. And he started to remind me a little bit of like the younger version of Cooper Webb because he don't go that fast in practice. And he'd be trying to go fast, but it's like the little man that look good. Little man, he can't go fast enough, but he'd be trying so hard. And it kind of came out of middle of nowhere, but we saw it in the last race I raced. I think they had Triple Crown, and then he crashed the last race, and he came up to the pack. But it was just something different. Like this year has been... It seems like he hasn't been himself. And I know he was hurt, and there's some other incidents, and then Austin Faulkner, but Hayden hasn't been himself. And then he showed up at the Triple Crown, and he got one of his races. And in that middle race, he looked more like himself. But
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I think this weekend, if I would have to say what's different, whatever he did a few weeks ago, I said his riding style looked different. Like he looked free. And two things can happen to be free. You just take off your shirt and run around, buck naked. you can be free that way. Or you can be free of, I mean, you can get a bail bond and be like free, but you ain't really free. That's a whole different type of free. Or you can, you know, beat the charges. But I don't think Hayden's in that spot. Or it's the third choice, I would say. There's three choices. You can be mentally free to where all the pressure was on Hayden coming into the season. Then everything seemed like it just went away. And then he wasn't performing. And when Austin went out, it was Hayden's time. It was welcome to the danger zone. And then he started getting these incidents. And he started rotting, as I said before, as entitled. You know, like he was, this championship's already mine before I even like done it. And the way he was coming up through the pack, I said it was Hayden being who he is. Like people, that's who he is. He ain't changed. He didn't do nothing different. It's just how he was finishing. That was the part that was rubbing people different. But he didn't, like Daytona, we were waiting for him, like just solidified, especially how he was able to win. Yeah, he wasn't faster than Austin, but he was struggling all day long to where when it main event came, just like Cooper Webb, he manifested and was closing down. Then you can kind of say that he put the pressure on, but he rose up. He rose up. Like, so you were thinking, all right, he's getting healthy. He's able to come back. And then it just went downhill. Like he started getting an incident. Daytona happened. He just wasn't Hayden-like. And then the last race they raced, he was able to go out and win that race, but he looked different. Like there was something about his riding style. I think the whole thing for him is that there was a lot of pressure on him. So you get to a point where, all right, you look like you're out of it, right? Things can't really get any worse. You're out of it. Like everybody's already down on you. You're not winning. Like, you know, you should be able to win. You know, you're faster than these guys, but you ain't faster than these guys. And I think that's what we saw. So what happened this weekend, just like the Triple Crown, it could be a sense of Hayden's riding free again. He's riding like he did when last year in that 250 class. Like nobody thought he was going to do anything. Like, yeah, they thought he would get a heat race, maybe a victory. But I mean, really, Hunter Lawrence, like you're going to beat him. Justin Cooper, you're going to beat him like for a championship. Like you're a rookie, like you're supposed to go. And then in the main, the XMX playoffs, same thing. Like, all right, you're going to be there. Hunter ends up getting hurt. And then you kind of solidify, but you end up winning a championship coming into this year, supposed to do the same thing. Well, the whole reason is, I believe, is maybe he's starting to deal with that. And the only way he's going to deal with that, you're going to learn a lot about Hayden this weekend. Okay, now I would say he's kind of getting back into the championship. Like, it's still there. He's got a little bit of work to do, but it's still there. So almost like in Hayden's mind, you would say maybe there's two in a row. The way he's been riding and the dominating performance, now you're starting to come in to where you're going to get those questions. What happened? Why didn't you win? I got second. What happened? Pressure is not when you win. It's like, okay, like it's not like, woohoo, yeah, it's expected. That's where the real pressure comes from. So maybe the way he's riding, if I could say anything, is that he didn't have as much pressure. Therefore, he's riding free. There ain't really nothing to lose as far as championship. So as he gets closer, we'll see how much he's improved compared to how it was in the beginning part of the year. But nonetheless, I think Hayden realizes that with everybody in this field, there's nobody in this field that he should be intimidated of mentally, knowing that, okay, when the pressure's on, they're going to show up. Like if I'm struggling, they're going to struggle too. And that's how my mindset. I'm sure Brian probably told him that. I'm sure somebody around them told him that. Yeah, they might be faster. Cameron's there and he's got the red plate. You got Tom Dial, who's probably the one guy that I would say has the experience of championships, but nobody else in this field has an experience of winning a championship. I mean, out of all the people, you're the actual defending champion. Like you're the world champion. So you probably got more experience when you look at in Supercross and what's going on. You got the most experience because you are the defending champion. So if I'm Hayden and I'm Brian, that's what I'm telling him. It's like, I wouldn't be worried about anyone like in this field that's like Jet Lawrence or Hunter Lawrence, guys that's obviously won. I mean, Hunter won his first championship last year, but my point is that they're all in the same spot. They're all in the same spot. So it's not like mentally you're just going to get beat because that guy's got more experience. They might have more races, but when it comes to winning, winning's different. Winning's different. You can ride a million races, but winning one is different. Winning two is different. We talk about the pressure. And I think with Hayden, he probably is realizing that. And he's also realizing that, look, it's something that he's got to deal with. And until you deal with that, you don't know how you're going to react. So I suspect Hayden's, as he gets closer to his championship, because he was, you know, lost those points and because he was kind of out of it, allow him to ride free again. And once he gets closer, and then maybe it's to the point to where he's got to show up and it's mano a mano, whoever shows up and wins his race, I think he'll be better suited, and then we'll find out. But yeah, it doesn't really make any sense of what's different. I think Hayden, ever since whatever he did a few weekends ago, when I was saying his riding style looks different, he's riding different. He looks different. And I just think with him, he's riding freer, and that's allowing him to come out and dominate, which is allowing him to do something else, which we are going to do. And hopefully we can time it up right, which is for you. Please hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck burn. You know you're going to get it, Hayden. I think this is your third one. I don't know. The one, but it was the most dominating one. So Hayden Deegan, neck burn for you. All right, people. That was it. Everybody else rode pretty good. Everybody else still there. It was nice to see the people I saw. And the people I saw was a lot of them. I saw a lot of people on TV. And I saw other people on TV I didn't see. I saw some people I didn't see on TV. Wait, we got to go. We got to take a commercial break. We're going to do something. Or we're going to go straight. Or we got the stews. We got the questions. We got any questions? All right. That's where we're going to go.
All right. So we got Caleb Tatango 124 asks, if you were Jet, how would you reset and bring this thing home given how the momentum has shifted?
What up, Caleb? If I was Jet, how would I reset this thing? I would just probably show up like I've been. And I mean, there's four races left. So quick four races. And I still feel like I've been faster than those guys. I feel like the reason they've been able to win is because I'm not winning, which doesn't really make sense, but it makes sense in my head. Basically, I'm still in control. Like I'm dictating what's happening, whether they win or not, I'm dictating. Now, this weekend was a little different. I feel like with Cooper Webb, like he showed up and he did do a little more whip. But if I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm still saying that I haven't been beat straight up and I didn't win this weekend because I got a bad start and I wasn't there. So until they start beating me, I need to just concentrate on just getting a better start and I'm going to win. There's nothing saying that that's not going to happen. So that's how I wouldn't reset anything. I would just continue doing what I'm doing, except for focus on getting out front and then going from there.
Scott H says, where do you think the Yamaha and web speed is coming from? Or is it simply just confidence?
What's going on, Scott? Yeah, good question. Another great question. You guys see it. I don't think it's coming from anywhere besides confidence, really. I mean, we know that, yeah, certain bikes work better on certain tracks, or not even that, because I think all bikes work pretty well. I think certain riders feel comfortable on certain tracks. So I think with this particular track, I would say maybe Cooper felt confidence, more comfortable on it than maybe Jet. And maybe Jet didn't feel as comfortable than he normally does. So therefore, when you put those, that speed gap is there. And when you got a guy like Cooper Webb, who is, when he came to this race this weekend, he was worrying about, like, he was all about speed. That's all he wanted to do. So you knew he was going to show up and try to go fast. He was able to accomplish that. And then I think, therefore, that's when you saw him scrubbing and then he got more confidence and just started feeling it. So I don't think it was the Yamaha particular. I think the Yamaha has been working well all year long. Cooper's been riding better than he has in his whole career. I think what you saw this weekend was Cooper coming in with one goal. He was able to accomplish that goal. And because he was able to accomplish that, it became more of he got a bigger version of the wood himself. And he was able to, you know, finish that thing off. So I would just say it was Cooper being Cooper, mental.
Frugal Stew asks, what did you think of Webb's huge whoop jump line? Towards the middle end of the main, he would jump into the whoops and then launch probably another five or six. And I didn't see anyone else do that. Then, of course, he blitzed at the last lap.
Are we related, Frugal Stew? I almost thought that was like an insult. You call me frugal? What up? What up? Yeah, that jump line was dope. really was. And that's what you'd call confidence, right? Like confidence. And Cooper's been really sneaky over the last couple of years. Like you don't really think of him jumping stuff, but he does jump some stuff. But being able to launch into those whoops like that is more confidence in your motorcycle and knowing that it's going to be able to hold up and not end up like our boy, rest in peace, Alex Martin did a few years ago back in, you know, Seattle. The thing's going to hold up and rebound. And so it was a big chance. And I don't know how those whoops, since they're building them a little bit different this year, do you have a better goalie in the bottom of it so it's not as steep? But nonetheless, like him jumping into that just told me that it was confidence. And in the last lap, the reason he blitzed it because he messed up that corner and he wasn't able to triple out. So he ended up going, I think he was double single or somehow he didn't have the same line going into the whoop section. So he really had no choice. And it felt like watching it, it looked like Cooper was still going to jump in there. And then he realized that that would have been way slower. And then he blitzed it. And once he blitzed it, he got through it. So I don't think that was a choice that he made that last lap. Like Chase is here, I'm going to blitz it. He ended up messing that corner up and then ended up getting into the whoops as the only way to be able to blitz it. And that's what he did. He was able to get through it, but still confidence. That line was nice. And the only reason, only way guys do that is because they feel confidence in their motorcycle. Just like what we saw with Jet Lawrence a couple weekends ago when he was jumping into whoops at Indianapolis.
Michael Mobley asks, do you think the pressure is getting to Jet or his arm might be worse than what his team is telling people? Didn't seem like the same Jet in my opinion.
What up, Michael? Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows? I mean, pressure gets to everybody, right? Like this for all the young kids out there. Pressure is real. Pressure is there. There's no way to avoid it. Don't try to avoid it. That's the last thing you can do. So yeah, pressure is getting to Jet, but pressure is getting to Cooper Webb. Pressure is getting to Chase Sexton. It all that depends on how you deal with it, really. And it really depends on how everyone else deals with it. I had pressure. I hated it. Didn't ride any better. I just stayed more like myself. So when you watch Jet, I don't think he's hurt. And I don't think that it's getting to him to a point where he can't ride. But to your point, he did look different. But I actually thought he looked different because of confidence. The confidence that said in the past that he would be able to just, once those guys spread it out a little bit, his speed will be able to catch those guys. And because I was able to do that in the past. So rather than being, I don't know how to ride because too much pressure and I'm getting like, I can't be myself. I think he thought he was going to be more like himself and himself has been running those guys down because he's always been the fastest and that didn't happen. So when you talk about pressure, we'll see this weekend on how that is because now they're tied. Anything in that fifth place, it might be over. So this is pressure. Nothing. It's all up to you and Cooper Webb. So I think it was a good question, but I don't think his pressure or his arm. I just think Jet was expecting something else to happen and it didn't happen. And that was the end of that one. All right, people, that was nice. Thank you for the questions. Legit questions, as I always say they are. But you know what time it is. My second favorite time, because I think my favorite time might be answering your questions. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stews and Stews. Well, they all Stews. And some people might be stewed. Jet Lawrence seemed like you a little stewed, but you know where we're going first. All right, first, stew. People that do it better than everybody else. People that jump stuff. People that don't jump stuff. People that do stuff that doesn't make any sense, like what I'm saying, never makes sense. I'm going to just call it a stew because it's just like, huh? So you know where we're going to go. Cooper Webb. Now he is stew. Now he's stew because he said he was going to do something that we didn't even know he was trying to do. And he said he was going to go fast, even though he don't care about going fast. And he said he was going to win. Well, he didn't say that, but in his mind said that. But he said, I'm going to work on speed, not changing the motorcycle, but I'm going to work on speed. And I'm going to make this Yamaha look better than it has all year long. And I'm going to show something I haven't had all year long. And I'm going to bring it to this race that I haven't brought all year long. And I'm going to do something I haven't done all year long. And that's whoop ass. All race long. And that's what Cooper Webb did because he was fast and he was fast from the jump and he was fast from the rump And he did it all day long. And that's, to me, when you show up and you just say, this is what I'm going to do. And you do exactly what you're going to do. And that the results said, this is what you did and how you did it and ended up doing exactly what you thought you were going to do. And people didn't know you were going to do what you had to do. That, to me, is Stu. And Cooper Webb, besides all everything else, besides you, and besides you jacking off, you know, besides you taking your jack off, no. You know, you're just a Stu. Because Cooper Webb, you're bigger than everybody else. Yeah. Cooper Webb, you solid. No, you Stu. Cooper. All right. And my next person, Hayden Deegan. Hayden Deegan. Now, a couple weeks ago, you were like, oh, man. What happened to Hayden, man? You were getting in there with Cody Shock, man. Come on, man. You knocked the worst person down. You were out, man. Cody Shock, man, we've been loving him since he hit that wall. Come on, man. You can't hit Cody Shock. It's like when you go through the drive-thru and they're like, hey, you wanna donate to the kids? How are you going to say no? Like this. I just did it. I'm just coming back getting ketchup. That's how I said it. So, but you didn't say that. You said, well, hell, you know what? No. Well, it makes you look bad. Well, you know, you were in that situation and then you came back and you had the Triple Crown. We saw a little bit of glimpses, but you still was going out in the first corner. But then you showed up this weekend and you wasn't that fast in practice. And I think you rode pretty good in the heat race because I think you won the heat race. And then the main event, it was like, huh? Okay. And we were like, what happened? Cole asked me, like, what was it? People are asking, like, what was it? Was it the Yamaha? Was it this? Nah, you just realized that you hate digging and hate digging whoops ass. And that's what you did. So you a Stu for letting me know and making everybody else realize, look, I'm hate digging and I whooped your ass. That was it. So you a Stu. And everybody else, y'all Stu. Y'all cool. Ken Roxon, you did good. Chase, you did good. Everybody else did good. Maybe El Hombre, he shot somebody in the toe, but he was like, whatever. He did it for Susie. That was cool. And then Eli, he was toe smacking until he stumped his toe. And he was like, I'll just wait for Nashville, whatever, we're going to the country singing. I'll be there. But my next list is Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because you were like, dude, all right, look here. What? I did it. And I didn't do anything. And now I'm realizing why I'm talking because I'm not talking about anything. And then you Stu because that was stupid. That's how I was. Or you just stood because you're like, dude, I'm going to catch that dude. And I'm going to catch that dude. And then you realize you never caught that dude. And you're like, man, what happened? I don't know. I didn't catch that dude. And you got pissed off because you was like, dude, I didn't catch that dude. And everybody else like, what happened? You didn't catch that dude? No, I didn't catch that dude. So you stood. No, you confused because you're like, I didn't catch that dude. Well, that's kind of what Jet Lawrence was because he never caught that dude. And he was catching dude, but he never caught him. Like, he couldn't figure it out. Then he saw El Hombre. He was like, I need this position. And El Brown was like, look, I'm still on probation. You know how J-Bone is, man. He already got my wallet. He was opening it up as I was in the last corner. I didn't even do anything. Like Barsha, he comes in there. He didn't want to get freeze, but he got hit anyway. And he got blamed for something that he didn't even do. He was trying to not get chiz, but no, it was Vince Freeze. All this is confusing. And that's how I felt like this was this weekend. Because we saw Cooper Webb show up like Jet Lawrence. And we saw Jet Lawrence show up like Cooper Webb. We didn't know what was going on. And Tomac was back there like, beast mode. And Chase Sexton was like, oh, I'm back. I'm still not all the way back. And just German Chocolate was serving Christmas cookies to everybody. And he was there. He was like, that's my friend. And Joe Shimoda, still, he wasn't even there. But he was still trying to get off the gate. And I don't know why I said his name. And Cameron McAdoo was like, oh, God bless America. And Ula Vula Shakes, just fine. Don't even know what that is. Hayden Deegan was like, I'm whooping ass this weekend. Everybody else was like, cool, I'm doing good. And then we saw Tom Brady, which we never saw Tom Brady. Oh. Yeah. I didn't just really expect that one to happen, but it did happen. So what we got to do is we got to keep rolling. Sorry, my mic dropped. Well, it was. That's what a mic drop? Nah, it doesn't have. That's like a knockover mic drop. My whole point is this, is that way Jet Lawrence was riding and he didn't ride, just like Cooper Webb rode, it was confusing. They took out bodies and they were inside out. And Chase Sexton was doing his thing, but he wasn't doing his thing good enough. And then like everybody else was doing their thing, but they didn't do anything, just like I knocked over his mic. But I did do something besides knock over his mic. This whole section is confusing, but it wasn't confusing. What we saw was Cooper Webb do his thing. We saw Danger Boy with ass. And then we saw everybody else try to get it. but we're going to Nashville round 14, where they're going to be like, yeehaw, hopefully Aaron Plessinger, get well soon, cowboy. We're going back to your hometown. Not really, but it's in Nashville where they do the rodeo. So hopefully you get back. But until then,